WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Scorching temperatures have descended on much of the country. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
The heat dome, unfortunately, is going to stick around. It's going to be anchored right over the center of the country.
Feels like temps expected to top 100 from the Florida Keys to Kansas City. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family speaks out after the Trump administration released files on his 1968 assassination. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
King's two children released a statement saying the files should be viewed within their full historical context and condemned any attempts to misuse the information in ways intended to undermine our father's legacy.
Bill Cosby paying tribute to his TV son, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who drowned in Costa Rica.
Malcolm was always embracing relationships with everybody he worked with.
Cosby in a phone call with CBS's Jerika Duncan. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. An 82-year-old man has died after a crash between a UTV and a dump truck in Portage County on Monday morning. It happened around 8:44 a.m. near the intersection of County Trunk Highway ZZ and Rainbow's End Road in the township of New Hope. The 82-year-old man from the town of Lanark was the operator of the UTV and died as a result of injuries he sustained during the crash. No other injuries were reported. The crash is under investigation. The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month in July. Lisa Hale reports.
The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month for July. According to a press release, drivers should avoid lingering in the blind spots of large trucks or buses. Follow them at a safe distance, watch for turn signals, and pass them cautiously. Drivers should also give trucks and buses the right-of-way when entering a roundabout, as the larger vehicles need extra space for turns. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding all drivers that safety on the road is a shared responsibility.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health detailed the connections between extracurricular activities and youth mental health in its most recent fact sheet, finding that kids who participate in extracurriculars, such as lessons, sports, after-school clubs, or community service, tend to have better mental health. Regardless of where the activity takes place, extracurriculars are known to help kids create strong bonds with their peers, develop conflict resolution skills, and be more engaged with school. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public. Three preseason games followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can, but we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Our low dropping into the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. It will be humid here the next couple of days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north from Lake Wissota on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 8:06 the time right now. We've got Parker Olson producing this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. We've got Chad Holmes standing by from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot reporting live from EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where we have chased her back into the tent for sound muffling purposes. It's amazing how when you get together thousands of planes and people, it gets a little noisy out there. And so back at the campground, things are a little more quiet.
They are. All the volunteers and people have gone inside now, and now I get to sit here in peace and quiet in my hot tent. It's getting hot in here.
It is, aren't you? You got the one fan that you said is...
Here's the good old fan. That's the trusty old solar power fan. The only air moving in here at the moment. Got the windows open, trying to stay cool, but, you know, it's a beautiful day here. The sun is shining awesome in Oshkosh, but I know a lot of the state is pretty cloudy out there this morning. Temperatures right now 63 degrees to about 73 degrees statewide. Winds aren't moving too much either. We've got that warm front starting to push on in. We do have a small chance for a few spotty sprinkles that could pop up later this afternoon far, far northwest in the state. Otherwise, we're just going to get warm and muggy today. The dew point's climbing into the 70s alongside temperatures going to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west in the state. And it's just going to be feeling very sticky, oppressive out there, and only getting worse as we go through to tomorrow. An extreme heat warning is going to go out tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. through Thursday, 7 p.m., because it's going to be feeling like triple digits. Of course, temperatures are going to climb into the 90s, dew point still in the 70s, so it is going to be very hot and sticky as we go through the next few days. And that front's going to spark some strong to severe storms potentially, too. We've got a slight risk throughout the state starting off tomorrow and kind of moving its way through. I'd say 5 a.m. expect some storms to start to spark tomorrow. And then by 8 a.m., it looks like they're going to hit me in Oshkosh. And of course, we are still looking at more sparking up behind that tomorrow night, and then waves as we go into the evening as well. So some active weather headed our way. Of course, strong winds, hail, and tornadoes are possible too. But not today. Today's still decent. We're just building the heat today.
Good. Now, we talked last hour about what you did yesterday, walking around, seeing things, the Goodyear blimp and other sights. So now you're going into today. Do you make a plan? Because I looked at the schedule. It is ambitious. There's a lot going on at any given time. So do you go through with kind of a list of things that you want to hit, or are you just completely freewheeling?
So over the years, I have learned to pick one thing a day that you want to do and just make that your priority, and then everything else will fall into place. If you've got one thing, you'll accomplish it. So my one thing today is going to be warbirds. I'm going to be headed over to the warbird section to see what they're doing. I know that they got the B-29s back again, and it's rare to see them, so I'm pretty excited for that and see what they have going on there. They have reenactments and awesome, cool-looking planes. And then I think tomorrow I'm going to go to the aerobatics. So all the upside-down, loop-de-loopy guys flying around, see what they're up to.
All right. And from Rob in Tigerton, a little advice. Drink plenty of water. He says, I got Greg in my head now when I'm mowing. And she's got the water bottle. She is ready to go. I'm assuming you're sitting cross-legged in your tent there in Oshkosh, which is, I mean, I'm just kind of jealous as somebody who's now officially too old to sit cross-legged on the floor the way that other people can. So much less get in the tent. So Tom and Jackson on the text line telling you to be safe as well today. But, you know, just enjoy the day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. You're the best.
All right. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
All right.
All right. Chad Holmes joins us as well from Wausau. Chad, if I might start going back to the comment sections here. And some folks, I don't put it up on screen or share names. Some comments just deserve a quick response. And this one from our last segment about the increase in measles cases, the increase in tick-borne illnesses. The comment says, I'm 71. Any reason why I would care about ticks and kids getting measles? And sir, this show is not here to teach you to care. If you don't care by now about kids getting measles or a changing climate or whatever, this might not be the show for you. We're here specifically for people who care.
I'm gonna be Santa Claus here this morning.
Oh,
because I'm gonna be nice to that guy.
Okay,
I'm gonna give him an article that he'll probably just love reading.
All right.
Because I'm going to make him feel good this morning, because if this guy wants to have somebody tell him things that this guy wants to hear, go to wasapilotsandreview.com and listen and read Tom Tiffany's letter to the editor from yesterday.
Oh, no.
Because this guy probably say, boy, that Tom is telling me all the things I really want to hear. And this world is perfect because people like Tom Tiffany are doing the right things. Actually, I think it's similar here. It's like this gentleman obviously doesn't give a darn about anything outside of the four walls of his house. And I think for the most part, even those that disagree with us politically, they do care. And there can be disagreements on maybe what the best path forward is. And I know there are disagreements. In fact, on Saturday, I had an event. And it was for a local group that provides help for families in our area that are battling cancer. And this is it's very interesting because I really like what they're doing in terms of there are other groups that are raising money to try to find the cure. But this group is actually taking care of people that are in the midst of it right now, especially kids, being able to send them off to a camp. And I had a discussion with one of the gentlemen involved in this group on Saturday. I didn't want to be honest with you. On Saturday, I don't want to go deep into some of these conversations. But he starts sat down and starts talking about how wishes there were no taxes at all, that everybody should just take care of everybody else, that would be better off if we were, you know, just basically had no government. And boy, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to get into this on a Saturday morning. But I got into it and I gave my point of view that, you know, number one, it's a self-fulfilled prophecy when it comes to those on the right, when it comes to government, and the best government being no government, because you run on government being bad. When you get in, of course, you're going to, incentive is there to be good government? Because they say it's all bad. And right. Then they got into the discussion of the Gilded Age, and I was drained by the end of it, but I don't know where I'm going with this.
I tell you what,
That guy kind of just got me going on that.
I had an interesting conversation yesterday with somebody who was here to work on one of our appliances. So it had this appliance service tech in, and he's hearing me, and then we get to talking afterwards, and he, like many folks up here, describes himself as a conservative. He listens to a lot of talk radio throughout the course of the day. But he is increasingly turned off by the extremism of the far right talkers. And as I held, you know, as I made my points with him, as I've done countless times over the years, and talking to people who are, you know, center right to my degree of being center left, and we agree that there's so much more of us in the center, we're turned off by extreme voices, by my way or the highway, and we're looking for ways to work together. And by the time all said and done, he was like, I wish I would have had a chance to vote for you back when you were in the legislature and all that. And it, again, it sounds good in theory, but you have to have these conversations as difficult as they are. And I wasn't sure I wanted to get into this conversation, but, you know, people do genuinely want to express themselves without being told, you know, you're wrong, you're dumb. But instead, have you thought of it this way? And that's the way we're going to move forward, you know, in this country is having to have, you know, one conversation at a time. Now, I'm not saying it can overcome $1 billion worth of political ads.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere.
And I think the bottom line point to be made in this is I disagreed completely with this gentleman in terms of that conversation when it came to his viewpoint on what government should or should not be, mm-hmm. and the role of government and the role of taxes and the like. But at the same time, this is a gentleman that's actually putting up. You know, it's either put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's putting up. He is actually out there working to provide help to families with cancer. So I have the ultimate respect there. And having these discussions with somebody like that, who I know has his heart in the right place, but yet is truly a believer that no government is the best government. And frankly, I think you probably had a better grasp of the conversation than I did, because I get too overly emotional at times, yeah, with some of these conversations. But I think the bottom line point is, man, I mean, you know, if I was to say, well, this guy, you know, believes in no government and no taxes, my first thought, well, this is a very selfish person, and this guy is not a selfish person. So right. There are so many complexities when it comes to the conversations and the issues at hand, and mm-hmm. and the point that we stand at, I guess, as citizens in our democracy in 2025.
Well, yes, and it's very clear that it's important where people get their information. I know that the gentleman I was talking to yesterday, you know, said a couple of things where I was like, well, if I were in more of a debate frame of mind, I would call things up and go, it's not exactly like that. It's more like this. But at the time, it was just better to listen and to say, okay, yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. And when the time is right, maybe we'll carry that conversation a little bit further. But I am reminded of yesterday's conversation about primary elections. And we're going to visit that topic again with Dan Schaefer in just under 20 minutes here. That there are some folks that will do anything to avoid primaries, Democrats and Republicans alike, that they're bad. And that, of course, gets other people very flustered. And I tell you, by the time that Kristen Lyerly and I got done having that conversation yesterday, we're pretty sure we cheesed off, you know, most of our friends in Democratic circles in one way or another, because mm-hmm. they're both right and they're both wrong in various circumstances. And you just got to, again, the larger point being, you got to have the conversations about this on a case by case basis, whether it's should there be a primary versus should we raise the minimum wage versus, hey, you're helping these folks with cancer, but maybe we could have a system where people don't go bankrupt if they have cancer. A crazy idea. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment with the Affordable Care Act premiums going up, but maybe we need to fix the entire system so we don't need to have so much charity care going on out there.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's complex. People have to think. And I think, you know, having the conversation, I heard your conversation. There were points in your conversation yesterday where I was cheesed off on it. I mean, because when you start talking about, again, Rebecca Cook, my first thought comes that dumb ad where she's standing in the middle of the road saying pox on both your houses.
Yes.
And I mean,
that really bothered you. I remember that. Yep.
And I know. And that is the honest truth. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I don't want to clear the primary over there for that. I mean, so, but at the same time, there were so many good points involved in it as well. So mm-hmm. it's like, there's so much to it. And
there's so much to it. And again, one conversation at a time, don't tune out. It's the people who tune out entirely that concern me most of all, because then, I mean, you're susceptible to almost anything out there. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO and Wausau. Catch him in Wausau for the local updates and, of course, across the Civic Media app and on the website as well. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. All right. Again, when we come back, some of you have a local break. And then later on, Dan Schaefer in our next half hour from the recombobulation area here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. The time is 8:22. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of July, 2025. Overcast skies in downtown Wausau. Temperature 66 degrees. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Real quickly, before we move on, I just want to remind people that in the first hour, we had a chance to talk to Rob Hughes, WASA teacher. We had him yesterday and today talking about his organization that is helping to feed some hungry folks around Thanksgiving. On yesterday's show notes, if you go to our podcast for our local segments, there's also some links there for you to click on and to be able to donate and learn more about WASA Area Food for Hope. And then, of course, today we talked a little bit about what it's like in the classroom here in 2025. But if you want to hear our discussion and see our discussion, myself and Rob Hughes, you can go to YouTube on our 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube. And if you go to the 98.9 WXCO channel, click the live link, and then you'll see all the segments here on our morning program. And you'll see the WASA segment interview with Rob Hughes, 35 minutes worth, all in one sitting, instead of having the
edited version that we've heard over the last 2 days. So again, if you want to see our segments or listen and watch our segments, we do have it on YouTube. So again, youtube.com and the 98.9 WXEO segment to see that interview and all of our segments as well. Where to start here on this Tuesday morning? I guess I'm going to let, I mentioned to you as you were leaving yesterday, and you were saying that last night was your first night off book when it came your rehearsals, as you get closer and closer to your outdoor Shakespeare in the Park.
That's right.
Coming up a little bit, less than a month now.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty quickly. But yeah, last night was the first night off a book, and it does have its challenges. But overall, I think everybody did a pretty good job with most of their lines, and if we messed up, we had a laugh about it and just moved on.
Well, on the first night, there's going to be plenty of times you're going to be saying line.
Yeah.
It's not perfect the first night off a book. I know that's for sure.
It's going to get better, though. It just takes that practice and repetition, and it will eventually become a second nature.
Absolutely. So, and of course, that's coming up in about 4 weeks or so, maybe a little less than 4 weeks.
The middle of August.
Yeah, so about a month. Coming up next week, we're going to be joined in studio by some folks from the Stevens Point area that are putting on Romeo and Juliet with Central Wisconsin Community Theater, I believe. So there's shows going on in terms of here in Wausau, in Stevens Point, and all throughout Central Wisconsin. So if you're a lover of the arts, a lover of the theater, plenty of opportunities to get out there and enjoy. And we'll learn more about Romeo and Juliet coming up early next week. I think they'll be joining us on the program on Tuesday morning of next week. So again, we like to keep you up to speed in terms of what is going on with our arts and entertainment, as well as the politics and the news here on 98.9 WXEO. I would encourage folks to check out WasaPilotandReview.com, because yesterday, Congressman Tom Tiffany sent a letter to the editor talking about the one big, beautiful bill. And if it doesn't make you want to throw up when you hear the title of the bill, you're a better person than I am. But if you're worried about what this does in terms of cutting Medicaid and raising health care prices and putting a huge, bigger hole in the deficit, well, Tom Tiffany's here to make you feel better, because according to Tom, everything is A-okay. Everything is terrific. But the thing that jumps out to me quickly in this letter to the editor is the first thing that he brings up, and I give him credit for this, because it's really what gets Republicans and conservatives really excited. That, along with, trying to keep down anybody that looks differently than them. But the other thing is tax cuts. Because the first thing he says, this historic legislation delivers the largest tax cut in American history. Congratulations.
Yeah.
A tax cut, largest tax cut in American history, that's frankly not needed for the richest people in American history.
No, it is
and
not.
We do have the richest people in American history.
If you really want to clap about it, it would be a tax cut for all the middle class working people who actually put in the work and provide for their families and friends and actually look out for their neighbors.
And
that would be something I would like to clap at.
And he talks about middle class people, and he talks about average tax cut. But the thing about it is, it gets skewed by the massive tax cuts for the wealthy. So you can talk about average tax cuts, but you got to look specifically at certain income levels. So, again, I would encourage you to read Congressman Tiffany's thoughts on it, and then read the real truth behind the one big, beautiful bill that was passed by the Republicans and Donald Trump in Congress recently. Hey, coming up in our final segment, we'll try to get you back on the winning track when it comes to our number for the day quiz. I don't know what it is yet, so you're going to have to just hold on.
It's
like going to be a surprise, so we're going to just surprise you at the end of the show.
You got to get back on the winning track, though. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. And also coming up, I want to talk a little bit about the Big Monk Festival that's coming up this weekend, because It's something that I think people need to know about, and that you'll hear some advertising for it here on WXEO, but I want to give you a little bit more, something to maybe circle your calendar to be part of coming up this weekend.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we got an information update, and then back to Pat Kreitlow. He'll be joined by Dan Schaefer, our political editor, coming up next. The time is 8:30 here on 98.9 WXEO. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXEO, home of the big high school sports show.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. Lisa Hale has the details.
The new lawsuit challenges a rule change by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It argues the rule change would make it more difficult for residents to obtain health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act. In a press release, Attorney General Call said the change would decrease the total enrollment in Wisconsin's individual marketplace and make premiums less affordable.
A group of Republican state lawmakers is renewing efforts to repeal a partial veto by Governor Tony Evers that increased school funding for the next 400 years. A newly proposed bill would eliminate the per-pupil adjustments from the 2023-2025 biennial state budget beginning in the 2026-2027 school year. The partial veto allows school districts to raise revenue limits by $325 per student every year through 2425. The Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the veto following a legal challenge earlier this year. A proposed bill by the Wisconsin State Legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every two. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're in the Madison area and looking for a cool event, check out the annual Atwood Fest. This amazing music festival features three stages, great food, and great East Side vibes. Saturday, you can catch bands like Rare Element, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, love that name, American Scarecrows, and Madison favorites VO5. Sunday features local favorites like Steely Dane, the Jeremiah Jams Band, and the Mark Hembry Bluegrass Band. Atwood Fest takes place, you guessed it, in Madison's Atwood Hood this Saturday, July 26th from noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday, the 27th, from noon to 7:30. Who doesn't love a Cinderella story, especially when it's literally a Cinderella story? Disney is in the works for a new take on the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein story of the overworked Cinderella. The new look will be told from the standpoint of the godparents. Jennifer Lopez is attached as an executive producer, but there is no cast attached yet. The original Cinderella dropped in 1957 with Julie Andrews playing the title character. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Our low dropping into the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. It will be humid here the next couple of days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station.
and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Did you know the Recombobulation Area is a 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, and that the Recombobulation Area is now part of Civic Media? If you didn't, well, then you must be new to these Tuesday visits that we do with Dan Schaefer from the aforementioned Recombobulation Area. Get it at therecombobulationarea.news. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
What are your impressions of the Brewers hitting 11? At what point do you go stand outside a George Webb hamburger restaurant and say, gimme, gimme, gimme?
Well, we got an exciting day for our Brewers here today. We've got a Mizorowski start and the chance to go 12 in a row here. So I am going to absolutely be watching that one and be ready to head right over to my neighborhood, George Webb's, as soon as the Brewers win this one.
Did you take advantage of either the other two times in our recent lifetimes that they did the hamburger giveaway?
I did in, 2018?
2018.
Right, okay. Toward the end of the season there in 2018. So, okay. I was able to take advantage of that one. Brought my daughter. We got some cheeseburgers. It was a good time.
It does beg the question, maybe somebody already did it already, how much it costs that local restaurant chain to do it versus how much, you know, publicity, how much earned media they got out of it. It strikes me as probably a win-win for them.
You know, I grew up going to George Webb's. That was like a real high school hangout for us, just having somewhere to go. And I always enjoy a reason to go back and enjoy some George Webb's. That's for sure.
Good. Well, we'll be certainly hoping for the best for tonight here again. 8:05 pregame begins, Brewers versus the Mariners. We can say with a high amount of confidence that we have no breaking news. At no point has the governor's office called you or called me this morning with a heads up. So we continue to be on Evers' watch on whether he's running for a third term or not. I have to say, I've enjoyed watching the rumor mill be wrong in both ways, saying, oh, he's about to announce he's not running. Oh, he's about to announce he is running. No, neither one came.
Well, I have stayed out of that part of the reporting of this.
Good,
you know,
man.
I'm certainly talking to people and trying to learn more about what's going on, but I have not reported anything either way about when the governor is making a decision, what decision he might be making. I have some inklings about where these things are going to go, and obviously you know where I stand on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think Tony Evers has earned the right to make this decision on his own time. I think there's a lot of griping about, you know, the decision and what he should do. And obviously I have said multiple times online and on the airwaves that I think Evers should not run for a third term. But I also think that he has earned every right to make this decision on his own time. You know, if he needs some extra time to make it, I think he's earned that. But, you know, there are some consequences of that, right? I think it does mean that just about everything in Wisconsin politics with an eye on 2026 is in a little bit of a holding pattern. We're all just kind of waiting for that decision to be made for then all of the rest of the dominoes to fall.
And based on yesterday's headlines, whatever the governor decides, you can absolutely count that a year from now, Hunter Biden will come up with a new reason as to why that decision was made and ruin everything. So. Good.
What in the world was that interview? Oh my goodness!
What in the world is Hunter Biden? But and it came out on the 1 year anniversary of President Biden deciding not to run, and honestly, nothing has been the same since that day. Well, we can now say officially 366 days later, what a year it's been.
You know? Oh, I know. I know. And that was right on the heels of the RNC in Milwaukee. So I remember being, you know, just exhausted from spending long, long days covering the RNC in Milwaukee for the recombobulation area, finishing that up, having a couple days to decompress. And all of a sudden that news hits on a Sunday afternoon and all of a sudden we're right back into it. You know, it's one of those moments where you're going to remember where you are when you heard the news. And now I think a year later, I think, you know, look, obviously Harris didn't win, but going from Biden to Harris, I think saved several Senate seats, including, I think, Tammy Baldwin's for Democrats. I think it prevented a huge Republican majority in the House of Representatives. I think it stemmed the tide of a down ballot disaster. And I think I had been made aware of some polling here in Wisconsin for some, you know, races in the Wisconsin state legislature that were showing that even under new maps, the Republicans were going to be at near supermajority levels if Biden was going to be the guy at the top of the ticket. So I think that, you know, take a look at what happened in the state Senate in the most recent budget process. I don't think any of that happens if Biden stays on the ticket and, you know, candidates have to spend so much time going on doors and justifying why Biden is still the candidate and all of that. And I think, you know, Harris and her campaign, there are things that I liked about it. There are things that I didn't like about it. But ultimately, I think she gave it a fighting chance, gave the Democrats a fighting chance to win the White House in the 107 days that she had the opportunity to do so. So I don't really have a lot of good things to say about Joe Biden or his family members who are trying to come out and justify the insanity of trying to run a campaign based on honesty and integrity while asking people to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears.
You mentioned the prospect of new maps, and new maps are something we're going to continue talking about in Wisconsin, even though we're in mid-decade, because as noted in your most recent newsletter, the independent redistricting effort begins anew in Wisconsin inside the effort to bring a long-term permanent solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin. Tell us about the column.
Yeah, so I was writing this piece over the last couple of weeks here and got a chance to talk to a number of folks who have long been involved in the Fair Maps movement in Wisconsin and are kind of beginning the latest effort anew. And last year, when Tony Evers signed new maps into law in February of 2024, I think that was a momentous achievement for the state of being out from under a decade of the most egregious partisan gerrymander for any state legislature in the country, and moving towards a better, newer, fairer maps that were initiated by this remedial maps process that came through the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Huge achievement, but not a long-term one. It's a short-term fix to the problem of unconstitutional maps. And 2030 is, you know, just a few years away, and we're going to be back at square one without an actual legislative change to reform the way the state operates its redistricting process. And so I talked to people with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women's Voters and a number of volunteers who have been meeting for hours every week to talk about and hone this plan to try to get a quote-unquote Wisconsin model for independent redistricting in the state. And I think the plan that they have come up with is a pretty compelling one. And right now it is what is happening. It is kind of coming from the behind the scenes, you know, crafting the proposal, crafting the process stage to really bringing it to the public. So they've held a number of public events about this proposal over the past few weeks. I believe they had ones in Wausau and Green Bay and Dodgeville and Whitefish Bay just north of Milwaukee. And so I think they're eyeing to have more of these in the coming months and eventually have a proposal that will bring legislation creating an independent redistricting commission for the state of Wisconsin that would oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. And then it would also include a push for a constitutional amendment to change to amend the state constitution to say that it is not the legislators themselves who are drawing the maps, who have oversight over the redistricting process. You know, kind of the old adage of the voters should pick their leaders, not the other way around.
So in a reminder that, again, I am just a humble former legislator who was ahead of my time. I recall in 2010 that another freshman state senator and I, approached leadership and said, look, 2010 is going to be a tough year. And we want to run on a reform platform that includes an independent redistricting commission. We think we'd get a lot of mileage with voters out of saying, you know, let's take the map drawing out of the politicians' hands. And we were met with an expletive and said, no, 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 we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps. And I think we know how well that worked out. And so here we are 15 years later, still talking about the need for an independent redistricting commission in Wisconsin that, again, I'm glad they're starting as early as they are because we don't know the results of the 2026 election, but they need to be ready come January of 2027 to try to put together, you know, enough of a bipartisan coalition where the party leaders from one or both parties don't go, well, blank that, we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps.
Yeah, and the goal for this is to have bipartisan support, and it is very purposefully not being crafted in partnership with any lawmakers from either major political party in Wisconsin. I think some of the people that I talked to for this are a little bit more skeptical of Democrats' motivations in the Fair Maps movement after some wanted to wait and have the courts draw the maps during the remedial maps process last year, instead of having the governor sign the maps that he himself proposed. So I think some were waiting for a slightly more advantageous map for Democrats. And I think some people, some of these pro-democracy advocates and Fair Maps activists were saying, wait a minute there. That's not really what we're here about. That's not what our priorities and principles are. And so I think there are some people in that space who are wanting to say, you know, we don't want either party to have the opportunity to gerrymander maps ever in Wisconsin. Again, we saw how it decimated the state's politics in so many ways. And so regardless of which party would be in power in 2030, the effort here is to get that power out of the power to draw the maps out of the politicians' hands.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You can sign up for his newsletter, therecombobulationarea.news. And, of course, he's the political editor here at Civic Media as well. We talked about it being it's quiet here while we wait for the governor to make his announcement. Do you feel, maybe you have the list right next to you, you know, that if the governor announces he's not running and the list of potential candidates, can you imagine how many phone calls are going to be made within like the first 5 minutes of that announcement? And I really am concerned that some of these folks, their phones might actually catch fire because so many calls are going to be coming into them going, do you have something to say? And we should know better. There's nobody that's going to announce within 5 minutes of the governor's announcement that they're running, even though we all want to be the first one to get somebody saying that they're running. So course, I guess we're just tempering expectations, I guess, is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there are a lot of careers riding on what the decision the governor makes, right? I think we've gone through the list, I think, on this show or others a couple different times about who the group of candidates might be to run for governor. But it's certainly going to be a busy time as soon as Evers makes that decision. And that's not to say, like, what the other implications of that might be, what, you know, races for attorney general or secretary of state, depending on who might be running. And I think there are, you know, the domino effect of this is going to be pretty profound, regardless of what way this goes for the governor, especially if he decides not to seek a third term. There are going to be a lot of changes in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. And once again, I will reiterate, I think that's a good thing.
And I will let folks know that unlike back in 2018, there we do not go into this with a prohibitive favorite. Again, Governor, then Tony Evers, not the governor, the state superintendent, took his time making a decision to run. And in that time, 10 to 12 other Democrats got into the race, knowing full well that if Evers decided, well, maybe I'm going to run after all, he instantly became the prohibitive favorite and emerged from that primary. But nobody knew until they did. All these other candidates got in. So once again, all these years later, we've got a waiting game coming up for Tony Evers. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wasota, talking with Dan Schaefer. And remember, you can follow us all the time at upnorthnewswi.com and right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, along with Ian Welsh. I am Chad Holmes. It is Tuesday morning, overcast skies. It looks like rain to me. This looks like rain. It just has that look where you expect some rain to come down, but the forecast has mostly cloudy for today. A slight chance of showers around now, 20%. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, 83 degrees. And in fact, as we get deeper into the week, tomorrow, high near 90 and a heat index 99.
Oh, boy.
So tomorrow, be ready to sweat a little bit.
And stay hydrated.
And of course, please, when there are chances for thunderstorms, there's always that chance for severe thunderstorms as well. And of course, with us here at 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media, keep it tuned in right here because we will keep you up to speed in terms of severe weather. If there's severe weather, we will get on the air, tell you about it, and try to make sure that you can stay safe when the storms do come running in. But
that's right.
But actually, it looks as though temperatures are going to stay pretty warm for the most part. But as we get towards the weekend, Friday 84, but then Saturday 87, Sunday 89, next Monday 88. So if you're one of those folks, and I know a few people that they love it when it gets really hot. They just love it.
Some people like that humidity. It's like the rainforest.
Yeah.
Heat.
But also the bugs. And last night I did another softball game. Last week I got caught where the bugs were just so bad. I got ate up completely.
Oh, boy.
But last night I remembered to bring my repellent. And it seemed to help, but I still feel like I got a lot of bug bites. And I've heard it both ways when it comes to repellent, that sometimes people say it does work and other people say it's almost like a placebo. It really doesn't do anything. So I don't know. So I tried it and it seemed like it did help. It didn't feel like I was swatting away at it as much as I normally do. But I don't know. Do you think that repellent works usually?
Well, I think it just depends on... Well, for me, I think it depends on the brand. But I think you have a point, though. I think it's just kind of up in the air. It's like
sometimes I think
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I think sometimes it's in our head where we think it's working. You know, as long as we think it's working, it may be working, except when the next morning comes and you have bug bites all over your body. So, I don't know. By the way, I did have last night American Legion softball. It was the start of the regional tournament, and Wausau Post 10 was very impressive in defeating DC Everest Post 492 by a score of 14-4. So first postseason game, a win for Wausau Post 10. They will take on Tomahawk later today at 4 o'clock. No radio broadcast, so get out there and enjoy some softball. DC Everest will take on Tomahawk then immediately following at 6 o'clock. So a doubleheader over at Sunnyvale Softball Complex. Also last night, the Milwaukee Brewers extend their win streak to 11 games in a row.
As great job, Brewers.
Incredibly hot. They defeated Seattle last night. And again, 11 straight wins. The Brewers have matched their all-time best start for 100 games.
Nice.
Going back to 1979. And also, they are closing in on their longest win streak ever as a franchise. And that will take us to our number for the day. Because we're going to make the Brewers and their win streak the number for the day.
Okay.
And as I said, 11 games in a row, the Brewers have won. And it's one of the longest win streaks they've ever had in their history, going back to 1970. And our number for the day today is, what is the Milwaukee Brewers' all-time longest winning streak?
All-time longest.
And the thing about this, there's actually two numbers that could work. And I'm going to go with the bigger number because why not? Because one of the numbers is the longest win streak in one season. But their longest all-time winning streak actually goes over two seasons. It ended the 1986 season and then started the 1987 season. So it actually, their longest one-season win streak was the start of the 1987 season. But their all-time win streak takes the end of the 1986 season and goes into the 1987 season.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
So we're going to go with the bigger number here. So, the number for the day is, what is the longest all-time winning streak for the Milwaukee Brewers?
Okay, what are my choices?
Okay, your choices are 16 games in a row, 19 games in a row, 22 games in a row. So how many games in a row did the Milwaukee Brewers win at the end of the 1986 season and then into the 1987 season? 16 games in a row, 19 games in a row, or 22 games in a row?
Okay. I'm going to say... I'm going to say 19. Well, when a 19 is my final answer, I'm going to say 19.
All right. The Milwaukee Brewers at the end of the 1986 season won their final three games. And then they started the 1987 season with a major league record 13 games in a row. before losing to the Chicago White Sox 7-1. So that means 16 games in a row the Milwaukee Brewers won from 1986 at the end of the year to 1987.
I tried.
Well, their current 11-game win streak ties them for the second longest win streak in franchise history. So if they defeat Seattle tonight, they will have the second longest win streak, and they would have a chance tomorrow to tie their one-season all-time win streak.
So, best of luck to the Brewers.
Yep.
Hope it goes well.
They have the best record in Major League Baseball right now, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. But coming up next, it's Matt and Air on Air on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Heat alerts are up across a large swath of the eastern U.S. with feels-like temps in some spots expected to soar as high as 110 degrees. Advice from Dr. Dale Kreiner in Memphis.
If you are out, you're starting to feel a little flush, you're sweating, your heart rate's up a little bit, you may be feeling a little faint, that's more heat exhaustion, and that's really your body warning you that you've got to get out of that heat.
Treasury Secretary softening the administration's stance on Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Scott Bessent tells Fox Business.
His term ends in May. If he wants to see that through, I think he should.
The president's called for Powell to resign over the Fed's refusal to lower interest rates. In the Middle East,